Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 reads this way. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing that you do want to open up our hearts and minds to understand your truths, Lord, that we might walk in them, that we might truly be your disciples, not just in word, but in deed. And Lord, that you might give us the testimony, that the world might see you highly exalted in our lives. And Lord, that we would see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. So bless Northwood Baptist Church, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise. May you be, again, highly exalted and lifted up in our lives. And Lord, may our lives be blessed because of your work in us. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "Be Not Overcome of Evil." Be not overcome of evil. And really, the Lord this evening in our text here reveals the steps that are needed to not be overcome with evil. He's provided that. That's really our testimony, the work of God in our lives, that we would not be overthrown. And by the way, we look at the life of Daniel. We look at the life of the three Hebrew children. We look at the life of Joseph. They were not overcome with evil, were they? They stood and God blessed them, right? But they had the strength from the Lord before the trial came into their lives. And so likewise, also, every day, everywhere we go, there's evil all around us. And what the Lord is saying is, don't be absorbed and fall into what the world is caught up in, because we've been delivered. We've been set free from the bondage of sin, right? From the bondage of anger, and and we have been given the love of God, have we not? And so this is what's important, and here the Lord is wanting us to understand how this process takes place. And so tonight, as we consider our text, we find that this is not just an advice, this is a command from the Lord, and he is showing us really the process of what happens, how that takes place in our lives. How is it that we are to not be overcome with evil? And we'll look at that here tonight. First of all, we'll consider the presented sacrifices. That's the very first step, that we present ourselves a living sacrifice before the Lord. And that's not a living sacrifice that crawls off the altar. That is a living sacrifice that trusts the Lord and says, "Lord, listen, when that animal is placed on the altar of sacrifice, it's given its life, right? It's laid down its life. It's going to be taken. And, you know, it's a good thing for us to give our lives to the Lord, that he might take it and honor and glorify himself with it." Secondly, we'll find the work of God's grace. This is the next step that we'll take note of on how to overcome evil and not to be overcome by evil. Thirdly, we'll find the grace of God. That's also important and involved. And so as we consider our text, let's back up to verse 1 and let's take note of the presented sacrifice. And you'll notice verse 1, God reveals the motive for presenting ourselves as a sacrifice. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." So let's consider this, first of all, that the apostle is not talking to the world. This is not a pep rally. This is not a motivational speech. Amen. This is a work of God that he wants to do in each and every one of our lives. And so Paul is saying, "I'm speaking to the brethren, but how am I speaking? I am pleading with them that they do this." See, that's the word beseech there. I am pleading with them that they take heed of what he's getting ready to say. So Paul is saying, "Listen, consider well. Think about what I'm getting ready to say, and I'm pleading with you to understand this truth." Notice, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." If you've been saved, you've tasted of the mercies of God. What do we all deserve? We all deserve hell. We all deserve the judgment of God. None of us deserves the love of God. Not a single one of us, but yet God has extended the love of God to us. That's humbling. That is humbling. I am a recipient of the mercy of God. I had nothing to give the Lord. Nobody, listen,
The best individual that could ever live has nothing to give to the Lord, but has everything to receive from God. And so he says this, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're just doing what is reasonable before the Lord. And so he says this, he says, here's the motive. We were the recipients of the mercies of God. And then notice the results. The sacrifice is truly given and accepted. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So fathom this thought. Because we are the recipients of the mercies of God, we present ourselves a living sacrifice. Now, let's look at the test of if we have really given ourselves as a living sacrifice before the Lord. And here's what the Lord says. Be not conformed to this world. That's the first evidence right there. If we give ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, he will see to it that we're not conformed to the world, but that we're transformed to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? To the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? Well, we have a different way of thinking. Our mind has been renewed. It's not the same. And we're not talking about renewing ourselves, but we're thinking differently than we've ever thought before. It's not like a New Year's resolution. This year I'm going to make it, right? This year I'm really gonna make it, and that's not what the Lord's talking about. But he's saying it's not a determination, but it's a work that the Lord is bringing to pass in our lives. And so he says, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, listen, and perfect will of God. In other words, that's what we're led by now. See, because we've presented ourselves a living sacrifice, we will take note of the things that run in contrast to the Word of God and say, that's not the way I'm walking anymore. I'm not looking out for number one anymore. I'm looking out for the Lord. Amen? I'm not looking to justify myself. I'm looking for the Lord to be lifted up in my life. And by the way, I can't do that, but God can. But how does that happen? Only if I yield myself and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. In every area of my life, Lord, I want your will to be done. I don't want to walk according to my thinking. I want to walk according to your word. And that is a conscientious decision that needs to be made. And that's what's involved if we're laying down our lives to pick up the Lord's way and his will for our lives. And so we find here this presented sacrifice, and we find here these marks of a sacrifice that's truly given and accepted. See, why is a sacrifice made? To please ourselves? To please God, right? And if God is pleased, listen, if God is pleased, he will accept our sacrifice, and he will glorify himself with that sacrifice by changing us to be like him. Now, if there's no change, then there's no sacrifice. And here's what we'll find, too. We won't see the change that the Lord wants to bring in our lives, the gentleness, the kindness, the long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit, right? And so if those are absent, then you can mark it down. Our life has not been laid down. If we are getting riled up about what we think and our way, we're not looking for God's way. Because if we're looking for God's way, our way doesn't matter. Amen? And that's what the Lord wants us to focus on. And because listen, as long as we are on the throne of our life, there's going to be a battle. But there's going to be a battle with the Lord. We have to completely yield to the Lord the right of way to have his will and way. Because the human mind makes deals in their minds with the Lord that we think, if we're not careful, the Lord believes or accepts. You know, our mind will convince us, it's okay for you to do that. I know God's word says no, but it's okay. Listen, it's all right. You're human after all. No, listen. All that is thrown to the side, and I am completely laying my life down for God to pick it up. Because if I'm holding my life, we will never glory. We, in our own thinking, we'll think, oh, you know what? I'm a pretty good Christian. Did Paul think he was a pretty good Christian? Or did he say, I'm pressing toward the mark? He said, listen, I'm battling every day. To do what? To draw nearer to the Lord. And so we've got to, listen, that is the perspective that God wants us to have if we're going to persevere in the grace of God. Otherwise, really, we're just going to operate in the strength of the flesh. A saved child of God, hopefully, but there's no real marks of the work of grace. You know, what is it to say, oh, yes, I'm saved by the grace of God, and our life doesn't show it? You know, listen, it's not being faithful to showing up at church that is the grace of God. Hey, the Pharisees were faithful, weren't they? You could count on them, they were going to be in the temple. But listen, what was it that the Lord was looking for? Was he looking for a whited sepulcher, or was he looking for a new life? Amen? New life in the life of the believer. And that's what the Lord's still looking for in the life of his people. So if we're truly presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, notice the work of grace here in verse 3. Notice our thinking has changed. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, listen to this, not to think of who? Himself. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Listen, God has given to everybody a measure of faith to use for his honor and glory. But listen, faith really honors the Lord, does it not? I'm trusting in the Lord. If our lives are not exemplifying the grace of God and exalting the Lord in our lives, little faith. Little faith, if any at all. And so there's a lot of people, I want to remind you, that day the Lord said, when everybody stands before the Lord, he said, not just some, not just a few, but many are going to say to me, but Lord, Lord, look what we did. Hey, listen, it is important that we seek the work of God in our lives, not for salvation, but because of salvation. If we're truly saved, this is the work that God wants to perform in our lives. And by the way, that's where we're set free. Amen. Not, listen, we're set free from the world, we're set free and delivered from sin, and we're set free and delivered from ourselves. And so that's where God wants us to walk. And so he says this. He says again in verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice, for as we have many members in one body and all members not the same office. So here, as we consider this, here's what God is saying. He says, hey, listen, we have not only our thinking has changed, but we also take note of the unification of the body of Christ in the believer. See, we're not an island to ourselves. We are to walk in unison. Aren't you glad that for the most part your leg doesn't decide to not cooperate with you? Amen? Right? What would it be if your hand decided to do something you didn't want it to do? You ever see those skits where people kind of dress up as the arms or something like that and they start feeding people? Aren't those hilarious? You know, they start putting the candy bar in the person's eyeball or something and it's just not working right. That's because they're not of the same body, is it? Right? But listen, we have good coordination, or should have good coordination, if our body is functioning properly. And so likewise, also the body of Christ, if we are in sync with one another, and especially with the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize the different parts that are to work together in unison for the glory of God, right? Not for the glory of self, not to promote anything, but to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen again, and the Savior of the world. So again, here, look at verse 5. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ. And so as we notice, everyone members one of another. So listen, members one of another. Do you ever get mad at your hand and just chop it off? No, because you wouldn't have a hand, would you? So we don't dismember the body. So notice what the Lord is saying here. Anything aside of this is not in the mind of God. Look at the mind of God. So notice verse 5 again. So we being many, many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So tell me the mind of Christ concerning the body. The Lord says, you know, if one rejoices, what should the rest of the body do?
Rejoice.
If one mourns, what should we do?
Mourn.
No. You chop that part off and throw it away, right? No. You mourn, right? If one rejoices, you rejoice with them. If one mourns, you mourn with them. So what does that show? There is a unification of the body of Christ. Anything outside of that is contrary to the word of God to tear things down. Listen, we put an undue weight on the body of Christ to look at them. In fact, listen, to have some group that because they think they've accumulated something or they've achieved something, to think of themselves because I'm the eye, or for vice versa, because I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body. Isn't that what the Lord said, right? In the book of 1 Corinthians, he says, listen, the whole body is fitly joined together to work together to the glory of God. So, question, does God want division or unification? He wants unification. You know who wants division? The devil. Satan wants. Listen, for anybody to work division or to cause a schism is Antichrist. That's what it is. It's not of the Lord. It's against God. And so notice again what he's saying here. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according, listen to this, to the grace that is given to us. Did you see that? God says everybody has a certain grace that God has given to them to make them fit in the body that he's placed us in.
Amen.
See, listen, as you read the scriptures, it is God who sets every member in the body right where he wants it. Right? And so for us, listen, for us to say, you know what? I don't think that body part is functioning right. That's not our place. I think this is what we ought to do with that body part. That is not our place. See, then all of a sudden we set ourselves up as judges and not servants. You see the problem there? And God is dishonored by that. He's not honored by that. Listen, how would you say the attribute of the body of Christ ought to be love, right? The love of God. And so notice what he says this, where he says here, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. All these things are pluses in the body. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So what we ought to be looking for is enhancing the part of the body that God has put together, right? So those that have these, we want to encourage people to fulfill the work of God in that part of the body that God has placed them in for the glory of God. And so as we consider here, we find really this is the work of God's grace that is taking place. We find the unification of the body of Christ in the believer. Then notice the exaltation of the love of Christ in the believer. Look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. That's important, right? In other words, we're not to, let love be without dissimulation. We would say today hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. To say, you know, oh, you know, God bless you, brother, and not mean that in our heart. Isn't that a problem? If you really, listen, in your heart, if we're saying something and we don't mean it, some people call that being two-faced. Hypocrisy. And it doesn't matter what anybody sees, but it does matter what God sees. Because God knows how we're walking and how we stand. And so this is emphatically important. And by the way, listen, Paul is writing this to the church at Rome, and it's not necessarily that they were deficient in these areas, but they were penned down for you and I to have also, so that we might understand how God wants us to walk. So notice again, verse 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation. Notice, abhor that which is evil. You know what evil is? Anything against the word of God. If we walk contrary to the word of God in disregard of it, then that's evil. That's wickedness. We would call that sin, wouldn't we? If we walk contrary to the word of God, Lord, forgive me and allow me to walk upright. God says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Cleave to that which is good. Then notice this, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honoring, listen to this, preferring one another. In other words, putting everybody else over ourselves. That's what he's saying, preferring others over ourselves, over one another. So he says, as we consider this, he says, verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So this is important. He says, you know, we're going to have tribulations, we're going to have difficulties, but be patient through those times. God will see us through. Amen? God will see us through all tribulations. Was God faithful to the three Hebrew children? Yes. Was God faithful to David when Saul was after him? Yes. And by the way, listen, let's take a lesson from David. One of the times, the last time that God delivered David from the hand of Saul, after he had that episode, you know what he said? I need to run over to the Philistines because Saul's going to come after me and he might get me. Wait a minute. That wasn't faith. The man after God's own heart didn't put his faith and trust that the Lord was going to protect him. Did he not anoint him to be the next king? See, listen, Joseph received insight from the Lord that somehow his brothers were going to pay obeisance to him, right? Homage to him. And his dad, too. His dad was going to come. Maybe, we don't know this, maybe Joseph had a better understanding of what God was going to do that we don't know about. And so therefore he trusted the Lord, or he just completely trusted the Lord not knowing. Either way, it's a good thing, isn't it? And he did not take matters into his own hands when he could have, when he was in Potiphar's house. Before that thing happened with Potiphar's wife, he probably could have sought favor from Potiphar to go back and tell his dad he was alive, or that he'd been taken as a slave. For sure, when he was second to Pharaoh, and yet he waited on who? The Lord. He was patient. Listen, that was a tribulation. Do you think that was an easy thing for Joseph to go through for all those years not seeing his father? Listen, did Joseph love his father? Was he obedient to his father when his father said to him, go check on your brothers? Do you think Joseph knew how his brothers felt about him? And he went anyway, didn't he? And he didn't just go after them, because when they were not in Dothan where they were supposed to be in Shechem, he continued on to Shechem to find them. And so he was obedient. You know why? Because he loved his father, and he wanted to fulfill his father's will. And you know, we ought to have the same love for our Father, Heavenly Father. Lord, I want you to fulfill your will in my life. You are worthy. You died. You sent your son to die on the cross of Calvary to pay for how many of my sins? You mean all the ones in the past? You mean all the ones that I might do in the present? You mean all the ones that I might do in the future? You mean you're going to allow me to escape your wrath that you did not withhold on your son? For me? I think I'm a big debtor. To what? To everything God has called me to do. And not to lean to my own understanding and excuse myself and make my own ideas of what's right and wrong, but to adhere to wholeheartedly, thus saith the Lord, and that alone. That I might walk by the word of God, and I'll be sure if I walk by the word of God, not to fail the Lord. So, he says this, again, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless them which persecute you. You ever been persecuted? And here's the question. Don't answer this out loud. Did you bless them? Lord, bless them. Bless them. You know why? Because has God not blessed us? Have we forgotten the price that God paid for us? Listen, this is not coming because I'm supposed to do it. This is for the honor and glory of the Savior who gave me everything. See, this is not just for anybody. I owe the Lord to bless those that persecute me. Not to pay evil back for evil, but to pay kindness, gentleness. By the way, love. Why? Because, listen, and we can never do that if we're not in the Spirit. Never in a, and by the way, that is a tall tale sign. If we walk around like this is what ought to be done and it's something unkind, I promise you that's not of the Lord. And that smells before God. You and I are not judges. You and I have no right to judge anybody.
Amen.
But we have been commanded to love one another. And so which way are we walking, ours or God's way? There's only two ways. It's either our way or God's way. You can't remember what the Lord said? You're either for me or you're what? That's it. If you have opted in to walk contrary to God's ways, guess what? Guess which way you're walking in? Not for God, but against God. See, listen, it's important that we are walking in the Lord for the glory of God. Why? Because souls are at stake. Listen, more important than my thinking and my way are the souls that Jesus Christ died for that they might have eternal life. I promise you, that's all that's going to matter in heaven. That's all that's going to matter in heaven. Not who did this and who did that. No, listen, when the disciples were discussing amongst themselves who was the greatest, was that a complimentary thing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Was he pleased with that? No. He said, the greatest among you would be the servant of all. And so this is what's important. And so we need to make sure that we are walking in the power of the Lord. So he says again, verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that what? That weep. That's what we ought to be doing. Nowhere do you find amputation there at all. That is a fiction in the mind of the human heart, not of God. Be of the same mind. Did you see that? Verse 16. Be of the same mind, this same mind that the Lord just explained. Be of the same mind one toward another. So if you have a contrary idea, you're not of the same mind. If you think you've got some executive power that you think you ought to do something and lead something, you've missed the Lord. That is not the spirit of humility. If you think something belongs to you, this is mine, it needs to be my way, it's not God's. And if you get your way, I promise you, God's not happy with it. He'll let you have it. He'll let you have it. The Pharisees got their way, didn't they? And crucified the Lord. Judas got his way. And all those that get their way don't get God's way. So here's the real question, which way do we want? I think I'd like the Lord's way. How about you? I think I'd like the Lord's way. And so, again, he says, be of the same mind, verse 16, one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Don't look at ourselves as being somebody that's a grand poobah of something. We're nothing. We are nothing but servants of God Almighty, and that's a high place.
Amen.
God has taken something that had no value, it did in his eyes, that's our lives, and has given to us the position of joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of an exaltation is that? Wow. And now, listen, now that we've been highly exalted, don't we owe the Lord? I believe, I am convinced, there's no doubt in my mind that we have things in store for us that are going to wow us in eternity.
Amen.
And I can trust the Lord and say, Lord, I am your bond slave. I don't want to think of myself at all as anything. You are everything. Amen?
Amen.
And I am pleased for you to do whatever you want with me. Whatever you want. Now, I don't always feel that way. But you know what? I want to feel that way all the time.
Amen.
I want you, whatever you want from me, Lord, that's what I want to do. I don't want to do my own will, but I want to do yours. So again, verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Listen to this. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own conceits. Everything that we do, listen to this, ought to be found in the Word of God. And if it's not motivated by love, it's wrong. Did you hear that? Anything we do, if it's not motivated by the love of Jesus Christ, mark it down. You can justify it in your mind. It'll be wrong. For all eternity, it will never be right. It will never be right. So, last thought here. We find the results of God's grace. We've seen the presented sacrifice. We've seen the work of God's grace. And now we look at the last thought, and that is the result of God's grace, right? The work of God's grace. Let's look at the result of God's grace. If we have the grace of God working in us, here are the results. Recompense, verse 17, to no man evil for evil. No man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, what I am in the surface is what I am all the time. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And we need to be reminded, that's not an excuse to say, well, I didn't have it. Baloney, we've got the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in us, he's the enabler, is he not? That's the dunamos power that God has given to the believer to overcome ourselves and yield ourselves to the Lord for his honor and glory. Then he says this, look at this term of endearment, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. You know what he's saying right there? Turn the other cheek. If they hit the one face, turn the other cheek. Let them have that one too. If they tell you go 1 mile, you know, go two. Give them your coat. Allow yourselves. Give place unto wrath, he says here. Verse 19 at the bottom. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
We don't want to touch that. In fact, listen. Our heart ought to be one that says, forgive them. Forgive them. How patient has God been with us? How patient? Listen, we are here tonight. We could have been overtaken and overcome by sins years ago and overthrown.
That's right.
And yet we have not been overthrown. We are here tonight, not because of anything we possess, but because of God alone.
Amen.
That's it, God alone. We are here and we have opportunity to continue walking forward because of God alone. If you think it's because of something great in you, you're missing God. You're too full of self. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to glorify the Lord. You know, the Pharisees thought they were doing God's service to persecute the Lord. They were at enmity with God, and they thought they were doing God's bidding. That's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? Let's not find ourselves there. And by the way, we all deal with the natural man. And so listen, I want the old man crucified so dead it's not moving. That it's not a threat. And we need to be careful of that every day and bring it before the Lord. Lord, I'm yours. And so, notice verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what does he say? Feed him. Feed the enemy. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You know what our flesh is thinking? Yeah, I'll take some real hot coals. We'll pour it all over his head. No, that's not what, you know what? The connotation there, it's a metaphor. The kindness that we do will weigh so heavy on that individual's mind that they'll think, I am such a creep because this person is so kind and all I do is spit at them, metaphorically speaking, and kick at them and wish them ill will, and all they do is show me the love of God. And God says, listen, you will help them. You will help them to see their own selfishness, their own wick. God will see to it that if you treat them with kindness, they will see, and if not, they've got no hope. But if they have hope, listen, God will allow them to see that they are attacking you for no good reason. When you in turn do the kindness of the Lord, the love of God, right? The concern for the things of God, and that you want to exalt the Lord, and that you want to bless them, and all you want is good for them, and their mind is to do evil to you, then God says, in your kindness, you're going to be heaping coals on their conscience for them to think, I'm not right. That they might, in turn, get right with the Lord today before they stand for God, before the Lord, throughout all eternity. Amen. With being a failure for the Lord. I don't want to be a failure before the Lord, do you? God has paid too much. God has given me too much for me to think about me. God has given me so much that he's the only one that should matter. And today we truly live in a self-loving generation. We're absorbed in self. Remember the selfie stick? Man, we've been long gone. But if we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, that is not the way I want to walk. That is not what I want to do. So notice what he says. We'll finish the last two verses very quickly here. Ready? Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head to help. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. I need to walk upright, Lord. I want to overcome what you call as evil and destructive and meanness and hatred and unkindness and murder. I need to overcome it with love. And by the way, to the world. They're the ones that need to see the love of God, do they not? And by the way, believers that are off track need to see the love of God as well. Listen to this. Booker T. Washington, this is what he said. He was one of America's greatest citizens. He said, no man is able to force me so low as to make me hate him. This is Booker T. Washington. That's what he said. Love and hate cannot dwell in the same heart at the same time. Oh, the havoc worked amongst God's children in allowing the root of bitterness to rankle in their hearts. He knew it. Listen to what the Lord said. John 15, 12. This is my commandment. That's what the Lord said. This is my commandment. That you love one another. Listen to this. As I have loved you. That you love one another as I have loved you. That's what the Lord said. Not for us. I've given you enough love. Is that what you want from the Lord? The love that God has given me is unbounded, superabounding, is it not? If we ask for forgiveness from the Lord, will he forgive us? Why? So, should we not forgive one another? And should we not love the Lord and others that belong to the Lord? Because he first loved us, amen? So tonight, the Lord says, be not overcome of evil. Because we'll miss out. God says, I want to bless you, Northwood Baptist Church, that we're part of the body in. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, and the reminding, Lord, of how we're to walk before you in your power and grace. And Lord, that we might see your grace actively working in our lives to love one another, Lord, to encourage one another, and that the world might see the difference that you truly make in our lives. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.